You know, last week this time, I think it was a little warmer. You think it was a little warmer? I believe that it probably was. Last week this time, that big hole right there in the church where there's nobody sitting was full. This time last week, it was warmer and there were more people here. This time last week, I preached on God will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Old Testament scripture, New Testament scripture, and I felt real good. This week, I don't feel so good. So what's the deal? Time, life, emotions, what have you. But one thing remains true. God's still the same. Amen? God's still the same. So last week, I loved preaching about God said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. No matter what you go through. I just like preaching a sermon like that. You know what I'm going to say to you today? You're going to die. Now, don't that just thrill you? You're just ready to hear more, aren't you? But the fact remains, if Jesus doesn't split the eastern sky and come for his church, we will die. You say, well, what a thriller, Brother Ron. But it is because last week we learned and already knew, but reminded ourselves that God said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, no matter what. And that includes death. Amen? It does. He'll be with us always. A woman was preparing her two small children to go to a funeral, and she said to them, a lot of things we've all said to our kids, and thought she had really got the point across, and they got there, and she thought, everything's going to be okay. And then this little four-year-old voice loud said, Mommy! And she said, Shh, what? What's in the box? You didn't like that, did you? Well, what's in the box? Death is in the box when we go to those places. Death is in the box, we say, and death can be mysterious. It can be scary for people. And then we say, wow, what a topic this morning. I'm going to die. Well, when am I going to die? I don't know that. I don't know how long I have on this earth. I hope a long time, just like you. We don't know the timing, but we know the fact that we are. The Bible tells us that. And God doesn't want us to be afraid of death. There's no reason for us to be afraid of death. He doesn't want us, I believe, to just dwell on, oh, someday I'm going to die. I think he wants us to realize it, that we are going to. And he wants us to realize that we need to make the most of the time we have on this earth and that be prepared for the day that we die. So you're probably just thrilled to death with the subject. But I'm going to read Psalm 49 to you. It's not on the screen, and you can turn in your Bible if you'd like to. Parts of it will be on the screen in a moment. Psalm 49 says this, Hear this, all you peoples, listen, all who live in the world, both low and high, rich and poor alike. My mouth will speak words of wisdom. The utterance from my heart will give understanding. I will turn my ear to a proverb. With the harp I will expound my riddle. Why should I fear when evil days come, when wicked deceit surrounds me? Those who trust in their wealth and boast of their great riches, no man can redeem the life of another or give to God a ransom for him. The ransom for a life is costly, no payments ever enough, that he should live on forever and not see decay. For all can see that the wise die, the foolish and the senseless alike perish and leave their wealth to others. Their tombs will remain their houses forever, their dwelling for endless generations, though they had names, lands after themselves. But man, despite his riches, does not endure. He's like a beast that perishes. This is the fate of those who trust in themselves and of their followers who approve their sayings. Like sheep, they're destined for the grave, and death will feed on them. The upright will rule over them in the morning. Their forms will decay in the grave, far from their princely mansions. But God will redeem my life from the grave. He will surely take me to himself. Do not be overawed when man grows rich, when the splendor of his house increases, for he will not take nothing with him. when he dies. His splendor will not descend with him. Though while he lived, he counted himself blessed and men praised you. When you prosper, he will join the generations of his fathers who will never see the light of life. A man who has riches without understanding is like a beast that perishes. So back to that topic, we're going to die one day. Young and old, we need to realize that. So it seems to me that in that psalm it's saying it doesn't matter how clever you may be. It doesn't matter how many important people you know, or rich folks, or poor folks, or whatever color our skin may be. The fact is, we're going to die, and we need to be ready for that time. As one guy, the story was told, he was hitchhiking, trying to get to a point, and a hearse pulled up beside him and was saying, "Come on, I'll give you a ride." And he said, "That's okay, I'm not going that far." But he's going to go that far one day. All of us are. And be ready. That's the key. We've got to be ready for it. Look with me on the screen at Psalm 89:48. What man can live and not see death, or save himself from the power of the grave? What man cannot see death? Then the next scriptures in Job 30:23. I know you will bring me down to death, to the place appointed for all the living. So how about Ecclesiastes, the next one, 9 and 10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For in the grave where you're going, there's neither working or planning or knowledge or wisdom. God reminds us through Scripture, you're not going to live forever, that we're going to die. And sometimes, like I said, I want to preach something else. You know, God reminds us, the Bible tells us, there is a hell that is real. And unsaved people will go spend eternity in hell. I would rather preach about heaven, where the redeemed go, and the glories, and the things we can only imagine. Like we said Wednesday night, we look in a mirror dimly or darkly now, but one day we'll see clearly, and the glories of heaven that Christ died for us and is preparing for us. That's the kind of things I like to preach. But yet we must preach the whole counsel of the whole Word of God, and the Word of God says there is a hell for people that will not be saved, that will not accept Jesus as their Lord, and the Word says we're all going to die, and we need to be ready to meet Jesus. We'll all stand in judgment. Now, it might not be as popular as some, but we still have to preach it when God lays it on our hearts. So God says, you're going to die. Be ready. And he says, here's how. Here's how. Here's the plan of salvation. Here's my only son I've given for you, and you can be ready, and you can live. And it's not going to matter what your grandma did, and what your grandpa did, and what your wife and your husband did. You must be redeemed. You must be saved, and you must live for the Lord if you plan on going to heaven. So that's still the gospel message. The scripture says we're going to die. I don't think God wants us just to dwell on that, but to be ready and be wise in how we live. Look with me at Psalm 90, verse 12 on the screen. It says, teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number those days. Teach us to know the very thing we're talking about this morning, that we're all going to die, whether we like to think about it or whatever, we're going to. So God, now help us to teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom, that we'll wake up. You know, sometimes when we realize something's going wrong with people or a health scare or whatever, you see people kind of, they get into reality, some say. It's kind of shaken, and this tragedy happens or what have you, and it's like, hey, I better pay attention here. We must be paying attention every day to how we're living, because it's more than waking up and brushing your teeth and combing your hair and going to work and come home and just getting a routine over and over and over every day. This is life. Someday death will come, and we must be ready. to meet our Lord and our Savior. And we must be ready to take hold of Scripture and to live life to the fullest while we're here. So we have to face the issue about one day we'll die. So, do you need to rearrange your priorities? Really, when you think about it, do we need to think about it a little bit today? I believe so, or I don't believe I would have this on my heart. Do we need to think about our priorities? Maybe they're in perfect order. Maybe you're living at the foot of the cross, it said. Maybe everything's just fine, and I praise the Lord if it is. But if it's not, get the priorities where they need to be. God, your family, the church, and then other things of life. God first in your life, family, and His church, and then all that other stuff goes beyond that or below that. Priorities to serve, priorities to number our days, priorities to do all the good that we can while we have life and breath in our bodies, to prioritize our time and not so much TV as going to see somebody that needs you. Sunday school lesson this morning had power to it. And I hope I get the wording correct. It was, do for one what you wish you could do for everyone. That's not exactly a quote, but I think that's the thought. Do for one what you would like to do for everyone. And it's talking about being overwhelmed at all the need. Being overwhelmed at who do I help or where do I put my resources. And sometimes that's true. There's one thing after another, even in ministries, good things, great things. Well, I can't do them all. Which one will I do? Well, do for one what you would like to do for everyone. That makes a lot of sense. Dwell on that a while today. Think about it. Do for one what you could do or would like to do for everyone. What will we do with traffic light that comes to mind today? Again, $2,286 last year we raised. I pray we'll do that again. Young girls in our own country. Last year was an education for me. I don't know about you, but I had heard of human trafficking. I knew about it. I would read a little bit about it, but it was not a priority for me. And they can say, shame on you, preacher, or whatever you need to say, but it was not in the forefront of my thought pattern. And it was an education for me to think that young girls are being sold in our own country, enslaved to prostitution, on and on it goes, in our own country, in our own neighborhoods, in our own state, not just somewhere halfway around the world there too, but right in our own community. So I pray that we will pray and we'll do what we can do for that. So God says, hey, I hate to tell you, but you're going to die. I want you to be ready. I can tell you how to get ready through Jesus, my son, live for him. But I want you to be prepared. And while you're here, I want you to do all the good you can do. I want you to do all the good that you can do. Why are we going to die? Why do we have to die? You know that story? That's the story of sin, when sin entered the world. Back in Genesis 2, look at that with me on the screen. It says, and the Lord God commanded the man, you're free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you'll surely die. You know the story of Adam and Eve. You know how that came about. And you know sin entered the world. It says, you can't eat this here, Adam and Eve. If you do, you're going to die. Well, they ate it and they eventually died. And we will too. Romans 6:23, you know it by heart probably. The wages of sin is death. That's what the Bible says. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Okay? We know the fall of man. We know the story of Adam and Eve. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God through Christ Jesus is this eternal life, this salvation plan. There's a big but there. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So what's God saying in this whole counsel of His Word, this whole book, Old and New Testament? What's the theme here? God says, I want you to realize a few things. I want you to realize that our sin is not just mistakes. that sin is truly sin. They're not just shortcomings. They're not just little things to be swept under the rug. It's not just, well, I didn't measure up one day. They're deadly behaviors that send people to hell. Sin is. Barney Fife on the Andy Griffith Show, you know, the famous line, he says to the preacher, yeah, you can't preach enough about sin. He didn't even preach on sin that day. You remember that episode? Sin's serious business, and it robs people of eternal life. So it's not to joke about. It's not just to explain away. It's serious business, and we need to be set free from that. And you say, well, I am. I'm saved. I'm in the church. I'm doing this. Praise the Lord. But you know people that are not. You know people that are not set free. And you know that they're still in the bondage of sin and need to be saved. And if they'll believe on Jesus Christ, they can be. If they'll acknowledge their sin and repent, they can be, just like you or I that's already confessed our sin. So, Psalm 49:15 says it this way, God will redeem my life from the grave. He will surely take me to himself. To redeem something is to be bought back. And that's what he does. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I'm thankful for that. Look with me on the screen at Luke 16. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried in hell, where he was in torment. He looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. Just another reminder of the difference. Philippians 1 on the screen, 21 and 23. For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. Paul's famous statement. You know what? I'm torn between the two. For the Christian, death is not to be feared. We don't like to talk about it. It's something that's not on the top of our discussion with somebody, but it's a reality. God says, be prepared. I want you to be prepared, because the fact of it is you're going to die. Young and old, babies are dying. Toddlers are dying. People have cancer when they're born. Stuff that just blows my mind and I do not understand. Middle-aged people are dying. The young families and children and older people pass on. The fact is we're going to die. And we must be ready. Our priorities must be in order to be fruitful in the kingdom of God, to put God in the rightful place, not to fear death, but realize it is part of living. Death is. And God says, I want you to do all you can do while you're here. I want you to number your days. I want you to be fruitful in the kingdom. The little boy at the beginning in the story, when his mom was preparing him for the funeral, says, what's in the box? See, death is in that box, and it holds all kinds of mysteries, I guess. But you see, Jesus overcame that. He overcame that. He helped us. He died on Calvary's cross. He shed his blood for our sins. We can accept him as our Savior and Lord. He arose on the third day and defeated hell, death, and the grave, and we have the victory because of him. So we don't have to fear death, but we got to be ready for it. So don't be controlled by it. Don't be fearful of it, but be controlled by the Lord and what he says. So we've been set free from that fear. There's a story told about a sailor who was shipwrecked on the South Sea Island, and he was seized by natives, the story goes. He was carried shoulder high through the crowds, and they proclaimed him to be king. He learned that that was a custom for the person to be king for 1 year. And after that year, he was banished to a lonely island to starve to death. So while he was king, he said, I'm going to do a few things different here. He began to send carpenters to make boats, farmers to go ahead to the island and plant crops, and builders were to erect a home. And when his reign finished, he was exiled like all the other kings to that island, but it wasn't barren. It was a place of paradise because he prepared for it. So here we are. Everything's going our way today. I told you I felt better last Sunday physically. I felt better emotionally last Sunday. I felt better when the pews were full. I felt better when it wasn't even this cold. And here we are this Sunday. God knows our hearts and sees us, and we have emotions, we have feelings. Sometimes we're up, sometimes we're down. Sometimes things are going our way, sometimes they're not. But in this thing called life, we have the victory as born-again believers, as Christians, not just in word, not just in theory, but truly asking Jesus to forgive us of our sin and truly living for Him and truly saying, God, here is all that I have and You can have it, and completely selling ourselves to the Lord and giving ourselves to Him and His service. And He says, I'm going to take care of all this business called life. You be faithful to Me. He says, I love you. I'll never forsake you. I'll never leave you now. I'll never forsake you, no matter what happens. Oh, we can shout and say hallelujah and amen to things like that, and they're true. He also says, it's appointed once to man to die, and then the judgment. So, I sure hope that next week we even see more people. I hope it's warmer. I hope nobody dies this week and we'll all gather back here and have a good time in the Lord. But we never know, do we? It might be me. It might be you. We may never meet this way again because one may be called away. Death may come and invade. Be ready. Be ready to meet the Lord. Whatever that means for you today, I'm not sure what it means for you. I think I know some of what the Lord has spoke to me this day, and I'll try to move on it and act on it. But I want you to be ready. I want you to know that you're going to die one day. Be ready. Take your relationship with the Lord serious. No matter if you're going to Japan, if you're going to be in Clarkdale, if you're going to work up here where you worked for 40 years, or you're starting on a new adventure in life with a new business, or whatever you're doing, keep your priorities straight. Trust the Lord. He loves you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. But one day, you're going to meet Him. Are you ready to do it? Could you stand before Him this morning with a clear heart and conscience and say, everything is well with my soul? Please stand. Boy, you're ready to go today, aren't you? Some of you jumped up early. I got to get out of here. No. But before you go, know the Lord loves you. And know, if there's anything going on in your heart or mind that you would say in your heart or mind or to yourself this morning, I know that kind of sermon is not my favorite to hear. It's not my favorite to preach either. But I know it's real. I know it's true, and right here, today, and now, I need to take care of this issue before I stand before my Lord. I ask you to come do it today. If you need to pray to God all by yourself in front of the piano, it's a place for you. I promise I won't bother you. If you'd like me to pray with you over here, I'll be glad to do it. Our Father in heaven, how we thank You and praise You for Your love to mankind, how we're thankful, Lord, that even though man disobeyed You many, many years ago in the garden, and Adam and Eve did exactly what You told them not to do, and sin entered the world, how thankful we are that we have a Redeemer. How thankful we are, Lord Jesus, that You came and You died for our sin, and we can trust You to forgive us of our sin, and You will help us live for You. And one day, the Scripture makes it plain that we will die, and we will stand before You. And Father, we just pray that You'd help us. We pray, Lord, that You would help us to live holy and godly lives in this present world, that you would help us, God, in any way today. Lord, I know the crowd may be a little lower today, but probably in a crowd this size, the Spirit of God is saying to one or two or three or four, who knows, you know, take care of this issue right here in living for me. And I pray, God, that we'll be open and we'll be free to come and spend some time with you, rejoicing or confessing or whatever we need to do. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.